First Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation, received by tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifested in these last times for you, who by him do believe in God, that raised him from the dead and gave him glory, that your faith and hope might be in God. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit to an unfeigned love of the brethren, see that you love one another with a pure heart fervently, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. For all flesh is as grass, and all the glory of man as the flower of grass. The grass withereth, and the flower thereof falleth away. But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word which by the gospel is preached unto you.
Amen.
Amen. Precious Lord, we thank you for the word of God. We thank you, Father God, for the power that's found in the word. Enough power found in the word to save a wretched soul like myself. Yes, Father God, we thank you, Father God, for the faith that you've given us to believe and the hope of eternal life. Father, thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Okay, so just in review, we covered a lot of ground so far. And when you start reading the books like Peter, 1st and 2nd Peter, and 1st and 2nd Timothy, you're going to cover a lot of ground. You're going to cover a lot of ground. You're not going to be able to hide from different things. So here we find Peter talking in chapter 1 of 1 Peter. Now, let's think about Peter. Peter was one of the great disciples.
Amen.
Whenever you see Peter and James and John, or Peter, John, and James, you will never find in the Bible Peter coming second on that list. It was always Peter, James, and John. Peter, John, and James, but Peter was always the closest one to Jesus. And when Jesus was asking Peter, he said, Peter, or he was asking the disciples, he said, disciples, who do men say that I am? And Peter let them all get it out first. And some said, thou art John the Baptist. Some say, Jeremiah, Elijah. And then Peter said, thou art the Christ. Thou art the Christ, the Messiah, the Son of the living God. How about that? Peter seeing Jesus walking on water. And Peter said, Jesus, if it be thy will, call me out of this boat. And the Bible said Peter walked on water. Okay? Peter took steps. When they came to get Jesus, they were going to arrest Jesus. There was Peter right by his side doing what a warrior does. I heard Jake say, you know, Jesus was radical. Jesus was a militant. Jesus wasn't soft. I don't want nobody to get this picture that Jesus was soft and he hung around soft guys. Soft guys hang around soft guys. All right, let me say that again. Soft guys hang around soft guys. Okay? Jesus was rough.
Amen.
Peter was rough. And when they came to get Jesus, Peter tried to cut off that man's head. he missed and cut off his ear. And Jesus put it back on, and he told Peter, he said, you live by the sword, you die by the sword. So Peter was all over the place, but Peter was always close to Jesus. And when they was getting ready to take Jesus into judgment hall, Peter was there. And Peter was warming himself by the fire. And they tested Peter, they called Peter, they challenged Peter, and Jesus had already told Peter. He said, Peter, I know you mean well, and I know you love me. I don't think Jesus ever doubted Peter loved him. He said, I know you love me. But he said, before the cock crow three times, you deny me. That was important. That was an important part in Peter's life. Sometimes we look at it as a tragedy, but it was good for Peter. It humbled Peter. It prepared Peter for the work that God had him to do. See, everybody God used has to be broken. Let me say that. Everybody that God's going to ever use has to be broken. Some folks can't be used. They haven't been broken. And then some folks that have been broken don't want to be used because they think they have to do it on their own. But God is a good God. And he was good to Peter. And when Jesus rose from the dead, and Mary came to him, and Jesus told Mary, he said, go tell the disciples that I have risen. And then he stopped and said, and Peter. Because Peter was ready to be used. And when we go into the book of Acts, we'll see how God used Peter powerfully to deliver one of the greatest sermons ever preached, the day of Pentecost. So here we find Peter in 1 Peter writing. Now he's on his own. He's writing his own book in the Bible. And he covers a lot of ground. Last week, 2 weeks ago, we talked about Peter saying, you need to what? Gird up. Gird up the loins of your faith. Get strong. Peter was saying to these persecuted believers, you need to get strong. Some of us in here, we don't want no persecution. We don't want to be challenged by the word of God. We don't want no persecution. We don't want no adversity. And I think the reason why is because we're not spiritually ready for it. One of the things I do in hospice, and I talk to folks that I know and I believe, they tell me they love the Lord. I say, are you ready for this? Are you ready for this? Are you ready for some adversity? I'm talking to you guys. Are you prepared spiritually? Can you handle some adversity? Because it's coming. Are you ready for some challenges? Are you ready for some curveballs? Okay? Life will throw at you. And Peter was talking to these folks who were struggling. They were in persecution. They were dying. Loved ones were dying. They were being thrown into the lion's den, into the Colosseums. They were being used by Nero to be as candles at parties. And Peter's sitting here trying his best to keep them strong and encouraged. And he tells them, listen, verse 4, and I'm just going to review. He says this, he says, you have an inheritance. We talk about that great inheritance. You have an inheritance. See, we talk about inheritance on this side of the earth. Somebody's got to die for you to get it. But Peter's saying this inheritance, we got to die to get it. And he says, it's a great inheritance. It's a great inheritance. It's incorruptible. It's undefiled. And he said, unlike this life that fadeth away. And I look around the church. I see folks fading away. And I think as a pastor, when you look at your congregation and you know that, it ought to give you a sense of urgency. Preach the word to them. Make sure they know. Make sure they're prepared. Make sure they're prepared. Okay? So that's going to be like, why is he so dogmatic? Why is he so serious about this all the time? Because you've got to be ready. Amen. You got to be ready. Kobe didn't have, he had no idea that helicopter, that $13 million helicopter was going to hit a mountain. He had no idea. And it was probably so foggy, he probably had no idea that they were, he might not even know they were in trouble. That's just off the top of my head, because I thought about that. I said, man,
I wonder if he was ready. I wonder if he was ready for that. Peter said, you got inheritance, incorruptible, undefiled, fading not away. And he said, this inheritance in verse 5 is kept. I like this. Kept by the power of God. This inheritance is not kept by you. It's kept by the power of God. Watch this. Through faith. Verse 5. Verse 6. And then he says, wherein ye greatly rejoice. We got something to rejoice about. We got something to rejoice about. Okay? And then he says in verse 7, because they're being tested. He says, but the trial of your faith being much more precious than gold that perishes. Let me tell you something. In this incident here, a trial is a test that you have overcome. What Peter's saying here is this is a trial that your faith has been tested and you have been found not guilty.
Amen.
Not like Weinstein. And they told the jury to go home for the weekend and think about it some more. Listen, listen. God don't deal with us like that.
Amen.
He says in verse 7 that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
The Messiah. Let me keep going. I can get caught up because I do what I do on Wednesday night and just go back and stay there. But in verse 13, he said, wherefore? Anybody been there? Every man in here, and I know young boys don't like wearing belts no more. When most of us in here grew up wearing belts.
Amen.
All right? I got belts. I'm pretty sure Roy got belts. Don't fit no more. Sometimes I put them on. This one's an old one. But we got belts. And the idea behind a belt is, you know, you want to make sure your pants is up. Okay? In the military, we had a military belt. We called them duty belts. And you had everything on the belt. You carried everything on that belt. Okay? And they were designed to keep you ready. Okay? You know, I watch these young boys got the pants running, put the pants all down to their knees, then it started to rain. And we call them penguins. And they run like penguins because they can't cut their pants is down. And I want to say to them, gird up. Gird up. Gird up. Gird up. Let's keep going. Somebody said something about as obedient children. I like that. What a wonderful verse. Gird up your loins as obedient children. That's what we are. If you're a child of God, if you are born again, if you have the Spirit of God in you, you are a child of God. And like everybody who has children, your children take on some of your attributes and characteristics. I've talked to people and they have a daughter. You call the house and you don't know who you're talking to, the mother or the daughter. They sound the same. Okay? A father or son, they sound the same, walk the same. The things that I deal with now, my father dealt with. I pay attention to, you know, they'll tell you, well, if your father had something, there's a good chance you may have it. Okay? It's called your DNA. My father had bad knees. I don't have bad knees yet, but every once in a while I feel it. Okay? Know your DNA. Humble when you become a child of God. Our verse is, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he gets a new DNA. You get a new DNA. And there's a behavior that comes with it. You know, I talk to people all the time. They want to get saved, but they don't want the responsibility to come with it. They want to go to heaven, but they don't want the responsibility that it takes to go to heaven. Peter says, he keeps going. In verse 16, we talked about this last week. We talked about being holy. He says this in verse 16. I'm going to get to my text. He said, but because it is written, be ye holy. For I am holy. What's that mean? The word holy in this text means be sanctified. Don't get caught up. Don't let the sanctified people throw you off.
Don't let the sanctified church throw you off. Every church is a sanctified church.
Amen.
Okay? Every Christian is a sanctified Christian. You know, well, you can't be sanctified because you're wearing lipstick. No. You wear your lipstick. I want you looking good. Okay? I want you to do everything you can to help yourself look better if that's the case, okay? I better stop. Wow, Miss Dave. Dave was like, get out of there, get out of there. Listen, be ye holy, for I am holy. How does one become holy? Sanctified. You get sanctified. How we get sanctified every day. You know what the word means? We're getting stronger and stronger every day. Ain't nobody really sanctified. We're going to get sanctified on the day we step into the glory. But while we're on this earth, I hope you're getting stronger and stronger. I hope your love for the things of God is growing and growing. I hope you're growing in faith and hope and mercy and grace and godliness. Those are the things that get us holy. So when Peter said, be you holy, for I am holy, he said, just keep pressing toward the mark of the high calling of God. Getting better and better. And you know you're getting better and better because you'll start acting sanctified. Okay? You'll start processing things biblically. Anybody do that already? Somebody ask you something? And you know, and then you start working through the Word of God. You start thinking about what would God say? Back in the day, they had what would Jesus do bracelets on. I thought I had no problem with them. I wore them because I wanted to do what Jesus wanted to do. I wanted to, how would Jesus handle this situation? What would Jesus say about that? Now we get to verse 19. No, verse 18. Watch this. Now we're going to get to our subject. He says this. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the traditions of your father. Now Peter is speaking from what he knows. He says, for as much as ye know. Mm-hmm. Remember when we were children? And your parents, you would do something crazy, and your parents said, boy, you know better than that. You know why? Because he had taught you. Your parent or whoever your loved one was, they had taught you not to do that. And so when we do it, when we do something like that, and he's like, you know better than that. Maybe is it just me? Did I hear that more than you guys?
No.
I mean, that was common for my father to say to me, boy, you know better than that. Okay? And Peter is saying the same thing here in verse 18. He says, for much as you know, you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by the tradition of men. Let me give you an illustration. Let me give you an illustration of what that means. Here comes a rich young ruler. He runs into Jesus. He got everything. And Jesus says, you know, let me read it. It come out better sometimes when I read it because I get going too fast. All right? I get going too fast. I just get excited. Mark chapter 10, verse 17. Watch this. And when he was gone unto the way, there came one running and kneeled to him and asked him, good master, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? There is none good but one, and that's God. He said, I either am God or I'm no good. He said, thou knowest the commandments, do them. Do not commit adultery, do not kill, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud not, honor the father and mother. And he answered and said, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. What did he want? He wanted religion. He wanted religion. Okay? See, religions tell you what you need to do. See, religion tell you what you need to do. Christianity introduces you to a Christ who's done everything.
Amen.
Okay? Watch this. And he answered and said unto him, master, all these things I have observed from my youth. What was his question?
His question was, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of God? That was his question. And that is a wonderful question. I pray when people ask me that question. Well, that's a, what a wonderful question. And verse 21, and then Jesus, beholding him, loved him. Well, why did he love him? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. He loved him because that's what Jesus is. God is love. God is love. Watch this now. He asked for one thing. He said, what must I do to inherit the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus said, this one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, take up thy cross, and follow me. Uh-huh. What's his point? What's God saying? You don't need all that. Now, he's not saying we don't need it all. Everybody he deals with differently, but this man, this was a problem for him. This was getting in the way of him having a personal relationship with God. And God said, go sell all you have and come and follow me. Oh, man. He looked at his stuff. He looked at God. And the Bible says, and he was sad at that saying. So you got to be careful what you ask Jesus for. Jesus don't answer like we answer. He said, here's what you need to do. Go sell all you have and come follow me. He said, something is in the way of you having a relationship with me. What's in the way for us? What's in the way? Things, people, relationships, pride, ingratitude. Let's keep going. Let's keep going. Let me keep going. Verse by verse. Through 1 Peter. Verse 19, he says, but he's talking about how you get saved and how you get saved and what's it all mean. He says, but with the precious blood of Christ. How about that? How about that? Peter thought Jesus Christ's blood was precious. Peter knew Christ's blood was precious. And he said, here's how you get saved. Not by vain conversation, not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. You know, I heard a song this morning. I was listening to the radio this morning, and I heard a song. And it said, put out the fire. Put out the fire. The lamb has come. Yeah. Anybody ever heard that song? Probably not. It's country western, country gospel. It said, put out the fire. The lamb has come. Think about that. Know what they was doing before Jesus came on the scene? Cut the lamb up, sprinkle his blood, then they would roast it. When Jesus came on the scene, guess what? What did John say in John 1:12? Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the earth. The lamb, when the lamb came, all that other sacrifices didn't mean nothing. You can still do it if you want to, but it don't mean nothing. Because the Lamb has come. The Lamb has come. And Peter said, but with the precious blood of Christ. You know what Christ mean? Messiah. Christ mean Messiah. Christ mean the one that has come to die for the sins of the world. And Peter says, but with the precious blood of Christ as a lamb without blemish and without spot. How was he? Sinless. Sinless. What couldn't Jesus do if he had any sin? If they could have found one sin. If they could have found one sin. Remember they brought the woman caught in a very act of adultery. Caught her in a very act of adultery. And they wanted to make Jesus make a mistake. Guess what happened? The woman got saved. Amen. The woman got saved. Mm-hmm. And all their sins was revealed. And they probably went away feeling different. Because he was without sin. He was without sin. Let me keep going. Verse 20. And who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world
but was manifest in these last days for you. And I still haven't gotten to my subject yet, and I apologize. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world. How about that? He was foreordained. Jesus was already waiting for a certain time like this. It wasn't like he looked down and said, oh, I better get there now. It was already foreordained. He was coming at a certain time, and it had nothing to do with any of us. He was coming. He was coming. He was coming to do what? To suffer and overcome death. For who? For us. For us. Let's keep. Let me go. I'm trying to get there. I apologize again. Somebody say, don't apologize. Keep going. Who by him? Verse 21. This is interesting. Who by him do believe in God? These people believed in God, and their belief in God was based on one thing. Remember what I always say? If you're going to disprove the Bible, one thing you have to disprove. What is it? The resurrection. If you can disprove the resurrection in the book of A Case for Christ, and a man was going around all around the country, how can I disprove Christianity? If you can disprove the resurrection. Okay? And here he says here. Here's Peter saying here. Because he was an eyewitness. He was a true apostle. He's seen the risen Savior. Okay? He said, by whom do believe in God that raised him up from the dead and gave him glory? Why? That your faith and hope might be in God. Peter didn't want them thinking and praising him. Peter said that your faith and hope might be in God. Now here's verse 22. What a wonderful verse. And here's what the word of God does. We was talking about obedience last week. He says, seeing ye have purified your souls. How do we purify our souls? How do we purify our souls? Think about it. In obeying the truth. How many know, the more you obey the truth, the more days you go obeying the truth, guess what happens? The stronger you get. It's like anything you do, the more you do it, the better you get. I think about Columbus driving a truck. Just started driving a truck. What, has it been a year? Close. You're in the ballpark, but you're a whole lot better driver now than you was 6 months ago. Amen. Okay? Why? Because the more you do something, the better you and stronger you get at it. And the more you obey, the stronger you get. The more you obey, the purer your soul is. Not that it's ever going to be totally pure, but it should be a lot purer now than it was when you started your Christian journey. Started your Christian journey. Seeing that you purified your souls. Obeying the truth. How? Through the Spirit unto an unfeigned love for the brother. You want to prove that you got a purified soul? Do you love Christians? Do you love the people of God? Do you love being in church? Do you love being among believers? That's a sign that you have a purified soul. You want to be around folks that have purified souls. Why would a saved person want to be around people that can contaminate them? Amen. Ain't nobody rushing to go over to China. There's people over here that don't even want to eat Chinese food. Okay? I'm just telling you, I was riding around a Chinese restaurant. Every restaurant packed. Chinese restaurant. Well, no cars in the place. That's how we think. But when we get saved, we don't care who we hang around with. Well, I care who I hang around with.
Amen.
Okay. Amen. I was saying on Wednesday night, you know, you get a married man and you can't hang around all your single boys. Just can't do it. And I don't want my wife hanging around a bunch of single women looking. Thirsty. I'm getting in trouble, Evelina. Y'all know that's the truth, though, ain't it?
Amen.
Come on, let's finish. I like verse 23. Stay with me. Being born again. Peter keeps rehashing. And some people say, well, you know, that preaching, this is why a lot of preachers come making up stuff today. They just making up stuff because they think the Bible is outdated and old, and it is old. It's all 3,000-year-old book. And you know, people are tired of that. People are tired. Listen. You don't get tired of what's good and what's working. And Peter is continually hitting them again, reminding them of who they are. And this is, to me, it's pastoral. Constantly reminding the people who they are. You've been born again. How many need to hear that every once in a while? Because we can get sidetracked. We can get off the beaten track path. And sometimes the word of God brings us back. And these people were getting off. They was under distress. And Peter was trying to say, you don't have nothing to worry about. Because even if you get your head cut off, absent from the body, present with the Lord, he said you don't have nothing to lose. See, we so scared of getting sick and dying, and it's inevitable. All of us in here, every single one of us in here, one day gonna get sick and die. And ain't nothing wrong with dying. I preached a message on there's nothing wrong with dying. The only problem with dying is not being ready to die.
Amen.
Okay? So Peter said, don't worry about it. Being born again. You've been born again. And then he goes over it again. Not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible. What you've been born again with is not going to fail, but of incorruptible seed. How? By the word of God. Peter's saying, you're going to be saved, and you're going to go to heaven. All that. How? By the incorruptible word of God. Can't be corrupted. It can't be corrupted. People still try to destroy the word of God. It can't be corrupted. What's it do? What's the word of God do? Causes one to be born again. Faith cometh how? In hearing by the word of God. We read in Acts. We read in Romans 10. And it says, how sweet are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Why? Why? Because they preach life. A man of God who preaching the gospel, whether you like it or not, oh, that's so boring. Oh, he's so long-winded. Oh, it's every week the same thing. Being born again. That's all he talk about. Being salvation and redemption. And what else there to talk about?
Amen.
The word of God causes one to be born again. The word of God purifies the soul. Samuel, the book of Samuel says, it's better to what? To obey is better than to sacrifice. So we want obedience. Obedience can't come without the word of God being preached. You won't even know how to act without the word of God being preached. Here's what I like. Peter, next week, and then we start going in this 1 Peter chapter 2. But it produces spiritual growth. I hope people are growing. I think that has to be your greatest. Your greatest thing when you come to church, are you growing? Am I growing? You have to ask yourself that question. Am I growing? Am I stronger? I go to the gym, or you go somewhere and you see people working out. I'm just wondering, are they getting stronger? I go to church and I wonder, are you getting stronger? I look around the room, I say, if people getting stronger, they're getting weaker. Growing by the word of God. Being filled with the word of God. Living by the word of God, standing on the word of God, walking with the word of God. Psalms 1, blessed is the man who what? Walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the way of the sinners, nor sits in the... Where does his growth come from? What causes him to do that? Because he meditates on the word of God. How? Day and night. Night and day, all the same. All the same. Night and day. Are you meditating? Are you getting stronger? It's just me getting stronger. I'm getting weaker. You guys are getting stronger. Hearing the word of God. Taking the word of God and placing it in your life. So when somebody asks you a question, like, what's it mean to be redeemed? You got to have an answer. That's a powerful question. When Peter says, you've been redeemed, what's it mean? You ought to know. If you don't know, you ought to say, well, I don't know what that word redeemed means. Bought back. It means to be held ransom. We were all being held ransom. We were all being held ransom. We got some great ransom cases in the world. And most of us know, we think of Patty Hearst, and she was being held ransom. What did they have to do? What did they have to do to get Patty Hearst? They had to pay the ransom. They had to pay the ransom. I was looking up that word redeemed, and the word ransom came up. But you know, there was two, Patty Hearst is number 6 on the list of the highest price paid for a ransom. There was a man, I don't even know if you guys know, his name was the two brothers, and they were held ransom for $293 million. Okay? Somebody paid it. Somebody paid it. Let me tell you something as I close. We were all being held ransom too. Imagine how much it cost Jesus to let us all loose. Because the whole world, Jesus paid the ransom for the whole world. He paid the ransom for the whole world. For God so loved the world that he paid the ransom for every one of us and everybody you will see today. He paid the ransom. You turn on Hollywood, turn on sports, all these folks that are living and dying in sin, God paid the ransom for them. Way more than Patty Hearst. More ransom than anybody ever heard of. Peter calls it his precious blood.
Amen.
We sing the song, Jesus paid it all. All to him I owe. Precious Lord, we thank you for paying that great ransom. We thank you, Father God, because we was being held by Satan. We was being held tightly. And many of us didn't want to be free.
Amen.
And many of us didn't want to be free. We were serving the devil and happy. But Jesus came and the Bible says the word of God was preached into our hearts and souls. And we received Jesus Christ because faith cometh by hearing. And Paul says, for by grace are you saved through faith and not of yourself. It's a gift of God. And that gift is Jesus Christ. Precious blood, and it freed us. Didn't free us to do what we wanted to do. It freed us to serve him. So, Father, we ask right now in the name of Jesus. We know the power is still in the blood. And we know you're still saving. And we know, Father God, the same blood that saved me is the same blood that saved Paul, the same blood that saved Peter, is the same blood that saved whoever's ever been saved. Somebody needs to be saved. Somebody needs to hear the message of the cross. Somebody needs their heart open. Say, touch my heart like you touched Lydia's. Lydia heard God's word and God opened her heart. Lord, thank you for the church. Thank you for the people of God. Thank you for the young people, Father God. Thank you for the ability that you've given these folks to listen to long sermons, Father God. We pray all these things today in Jesus' name. Amen.